You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast ahead of the 144th Open Championship from St Andrews. It's Dave Kelly here in the studio alongside Dave Tindall and Mike Grenham to go through all the betting markets here with William Hill ahead of one of the most special weeks of the year from a golfing perspective, undoubtedly. And first of all, it's a warm welcome to Mr. Grenham. Mike, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, Dave. We should mention before we crack on with the Open that Mr. Tindall had a place with Mark Warren last week.
He did.
He did indeed. We'd Fleetwood, hadn't we, both of us, who flattered to deceive and messed up on the Sunday. But well done to Dave.
Yeah, the fun lasted 54 and a half holes for us, didn't it?
Double bogey on the first
on Sunday.
Move on. Well done, Dave.
Well done, Mr.
Thank
Tindall.
You.
And St Andrews, first of all, Dave, another golf course that you visited, but this one, you've not played this one, have you?
Yeah, I played this as well.
Have you?
I played it in reverse.
He's played on the moon with Buzz Aldrin. He's played everywhere.
You played it in reverse. Why did you play it in reverse?
Because it was one of them shotgun starts. And I thought, oh, this isn't authentic. But I started on like the 15th. But it meant you played the 18th and then the first, which was brilliant.
Because
they're the two big iconic holes, aren't they? With the massive double fairways, which is obviously a key factor, big element this week, isn't it? Those massive fairways and obviously the speed of the course and everything. It was quite dry on that occasion, not much wind, but I think we're going to get some wind, aren't we, this week?
Looks that way.
I think so. Let me spin you through the betting here with William Hill then for the 144th Open Championship. Jordan Spieth, who's chasing that Grand Slam, is the 13-2 favourite. Dustin Johnson, 12-1. Ricky Fowler, 16-1. Adam Scott and Justin Rose and Louis Oosthuizen in all 20s. Henrik Stenson, 22-1. Bubba Watson is 28s. And it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. Mike, it's always a special major championship whenever St Andrews hosts. And the weather is a big factor. Louis Oosthuizen may be helped out by the weather when he won in 2010, but he still slammed the field by 7 shots.
Yep.
And Tiger Woods, who clearly has an affinity with St Andrews, he won by 8 in 2000 and 5 in 2005. And the landscape remains unchanged for this year's championship. You go to St Andrews, the players that have played there will know exactly what to expect, won't they?
They will, Dave. Although I have to be honest and say it's not my favourite Open venue. I don't think it's the most interesting of the courses on the rota. I know that might be sacrilege to say it. Hasn't produced amazing Opens in its last few renewals. Whilst I like it, I'm not. It doesn't excite me any more than any other Open, just because it is at St Andrews. It's just the Open more than St Andrews that works for me.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite?
No, I don't really. It wouldn't be St Andrews though. Be others I prefer. What about you?
Yeah, I do like it. I do like Lytham as well.
Yeah, I love Lytham.
Sometimes it depends where you had your
winner. Yeah.
As far as the course is concerned, St Andrews, the old course, measures 7,305 yards. It's a par 72, 2 par 3s, 2 par 5s. And conditions, Dave, reportedly different to what you would anticipate in a normal Open week.
Yeah, Tiger was the one who came out with a quote, wasn't he, when he played it on Saturday, saying it's very soft for an Open. Mm. He said balls were making marks for the first time. Mm. They asked Dustin Johnson the same thing, and he just went, "Oh, not really." No. So he didn't really shine much light on it. But I don't think it's overly soft, is it? But
I think for the sake of the interest of the tournament, though, it's good that it's going to be windy, because it's a little bit tame when it's not windy at St Andrews. I think it's a little bit too easy. Whereas if it's as anywhere near as windy as it's forecast to be, it could be some high jinks.
I've got the Met forecast up here. We're speaking on Tuesday afternoon.
Yes.
And it's saying on Friday, late Friday, it's getting above 20 miles an hour.
Mm. Yeah, which
we're trying to work out which is the best side of the draw.
Well, I've looked at this endlessly over the last couple of days, because it does make quite a difference, the wind.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think early starters at the moment look to have a a fairly big advantage. But it's these links courses, the weather forecast changes so quickly, it's difficult to know. But at the moment, to me, from how I read it, would you agree, Dave?
Yeah, it's
Thursday morning, definite advantage.
It's a hot topic in the media, isn't it? Everyone on Twitter, everyone on Facebook, any social media site you go on, they're all talking about, they're interested in golf, they're talking about the weather forecast. It does look like the best of the conditions for Thursday and Friday are going to come Thursday morning, where it looks as if it could be flat calm. So there's a chance for those morning starters to get a jump,
to get an advantage
on the field, definitely.
And it does
Saturday
help to
looks
start
like
well,
it could be
it?
It could be a great day Saturday if the wind blows.
Well, the thing about Saturday though is that it's going to be pretty windy the whole day, which is consistent. Yeah. And B, all the leaders are out at the same time, aren't they? Whereas the difference here is you get drawn early Friday, Thursday, and Friday. You could be just no chance on that side of the draw if the worst happens. I'm not saying it's going to be that bad, but it could be.
I think Friday the wind is more than Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, but Thursday morning quite benign, isn't it, if you have a look at
Thursday morning definitely beats Friday morning. Yeah. Friday morning, but in the afternoons, Friday afternoon looks worse, which might just bring it back
a little bit. It might.
It could do.
But who knows?
As far as the course is concerned, does it suit the Bombers here, Dave, do you think?
I think it does, if it's going to play soft, yeah, definitely, because you've got those par fours, which, you know, you can drive some of them, can't you?
Yeah.
Yes. The 9 and 10.
9 and 10, yeah, is where you make a lot of your score. The 18th, with a fair wind behind, you can get on the green or right up to it if you choose to attack it. So, yeah, I think if you look down the years, when I looked at John Daly, obviously won it in 1995, that year he was the longest driver on tour. We kind of forget how long a driver Tiger was.
Yes.
Because he's kind of, you know, he's lost some of his powers. But when he won in 2000, 2005, he finished second on the DD list those years. And Oosthuizen can give it a fair old tonk as well. I think he was 27th in driving distance that year of his win. So they're all long drivers. Add in the fact that it's going to play soft, you would think, wouldn't you, that long drivers have an advantage, although you're not going to see a top 10 just full of long drivers.
No.
There's always more than one way to skin a cat.
There is, yeah. I think it is a long driver's. It's a Bombers course normally. But more so, I tend to think it's more so when it plays fast.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think if it's windy and wet, I think that it might take that out of the equation. Certainly the wind, I'm not, you know, I'm less bothered about the distance with it being windy. If it was a benign year, sunny, I think the long drivers would have a bigger advantage.
Yeah,
I haven't picked two. I wanted to pick, having said all of that, I wanted to pick long drivers and I couldn't find any at the right price, so my two picks aren't very long drivers.
Yeah, and apparently at St Andrews it's better to miss left than right. All the danger's on the right-hand side of the golf course and not on the left. And
when Daly won in 1995, he just said he kept hitting it as far left as he wanted to. That was kind of his sort of, I don't know, like a sort of Grand National winner going trotting around on the inside or something. It was just
Tiger Woods has said that as well. He said when he first went to St Andrews and was given advice, he just said hit it as far left as you possibly can. Use driver and hit it as far left.
By the look
left
on your face,
possible.
Dave, I think you're thinking it that you've got to be a bomber here. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I've picked a couple of guys that are long off the tee.
Could well be right. Don't get me wrong. You know.
How many selections have you got, Mike?
Two.
Two. I've got two.
I'm going to go with three.
Okay, you lead off then, Dave.
Yeah, first one, little stat to start with. Seven of the last eight winners at St Andrews in an Open had already won a major. I think that's quite a big stat, that. Ironically, the last one, Oosthuizen didn't.
Yes.
And Oosthuizen did kind of break quite a lot of trends, to be fair. So you could argue, well, you know, a lot of trends that aren't working with him, and maybe it'll be the case this year. But seven of the last eight have, and, you know, even John Daly, of course, we forget he'd won at Crooked Stick, hadn't he, in 91. Yep. So I'm going to put forward a major winner in Martin Kaymer. I don't really know why he's not shorter in the betting, because I think he's almost being judged on overall season form, where he's just coming off a tied fourth in the Open de France.
Yep.
Of course, he always plays well at. He had some good form earlier in the season. Should have won Abu Dhabi, shouldn't he, for a fourth time?
Yes.
And imploded. Very unlike Martin Kaymer. But that showed he is playing well on the courses he likes, and he really, really likes St Andrews. He was interviewed by the UK press before the US Open, which he didn't make a very good defence of. don't think he ever cared for that course. He didn't bother going over to practice it. And he just said St Andrews is my favourite course in the world. Now, he's won the Dunhill Links there. He was tied seventh in the Open in 2010 there, third going into the last day. Proven winner, won the Players' Championship last year and the US Open, won at Whistling Straits. He wins big events, Martin Kaymer. So a lot of those shorter in the betting, or even around him in the betting, just haven't got anything like his pedigree. So I think at 35-1, Martin Kaymer, we're paying six places. I love that as an each-way bet.
Yep.
And I think he's got a genuine chance of winning.
Nice. Martin Kaymer, 35-1, Dave's first pick. What's your headline selection, Mike?
My first headline pick is... I'm going to wait until Wednesday. If I was betting with William Hill, I'll wait until Wednesday. Because on every major, Terry Pattinson, our trading director, Mark Hadzer, they push a lot of players out and they're very, very competitive. So
you reckon I might get 40s on Kaymer, if that's the case?
It wouldn't surprise me, Dave. Yeah. I don't know what... Yeah. I don't even know whether the prices are being pushed out, but that is kind of something that...
That's the modus operandi, isn't it?
So... it wouldn't surprise me, letting me put it that way, that happens and they get pushed out a little bit on Wednesday. It's a very competitive market Wednesday morning, isn't it, for the Open always? And William Hill always push a lot of players out, and usually black type on all the top players, in fact, in the betting. My first pick is Brant Snedeker. He's a guy that's played the last three Opens pretty well. Well, certainly the 58th last year probably wasn't as good as it might have been, but the two previous years, 3rd and 11th. He's in absolutely cracking form. 2nd, 6th, 8th and 10th in his last four outings. That 8th was in the US Open at the Lynxy Chambers Bay. He's won already this season at Pebble Beach. Obviously good finish there at Colonial as well. 8 top 10s from 19 events. I think putting is something that we haven't mentioned here. I think bombing the ball is important, but I think with the greens are massive here, so putting and scrambling are very important, avoiding those all damaging double bogeys or treble bogeys.
Yes.
Snedeker, 5th for strokes gained putting, 4th for scrambling, top 20 for sand saves on the US Tour, 14 par 4s on this course, and he's in the top 10 for par 4 scoring in the US. So I'd like if he hit it a little bit longer, I have to say, because he's not the longest of hitters, and you're right to say that will be an advantage here. I'm hoping, though, that his all-round game will... put him right in the mix. He is at the moment 45-1. I wouldn't be surprised to see 50s on Wednesday morning, so 45 or 50 will do for me.
Good stuff. Brant Snedeker, 45-1, Mike's headline selection here for the 144th Open Championship. I mentioned my first pick off air, Mike, and it's Adam Scott at 20-1 as my headline selection here. I'll go 1.5 points each way, Adam Scott. Tea time is a concern. He's out late on the Thursday, which is obviously a concern. If the Open was anywhere else as well, I'd be having a bigger bet on Adam Scott. But his record at St Andrews isn't scintillating, to say the least. He's played in the Open Championship here 3 times. 2000, I'd ignore that because that was his first Open and he missed the cut. Tied for 34th in 2005, tied for 27th in 2010. I think he's a much stronger player now than he was then.
He was rubbish in the majors up until 2011, wasn't he, when he nearly won the Masters?
Yeah, he's definitely a late bloomer, wasn't he, Scott?
I think he came ninth in his first Masters, but the rest was just rubbish, and now he's probably the best major player consistently, isn't he, there is, for the last 5 years.
And you look at his Open form last 3 years, finished top five the last three Open Championships, and then finished with a wet sail at the US Open in Chambers Bay. And he's been playing at St Andrews as well every day since last Wednesday, which I think is a good thing. He needs to get another major championship on the board before they ban the long putter, because when he has to go to the short putter, he's going to struggle. And unless he somehow miraculously finds form with it, but the longer putter is what he's used to, what he's won his major championship with, and he should have won this title back in 2012. And fully expect him to contend this year, so I'll play him 1.5 points each way at 20s, Adam Scott.
Okay.
Yep. Dave?
Yeah, fairly obvious one, this one, for my next one. Henrik Stenson. Again, I think 22's okay. If you compare the 22's on him to the 12's on Dustin Johnson, I think they're similar kind of players in the fact that they've got a lot of top, you know, good each way payouts for major backers. Stenson's got an absolute ton of them. He was third at St Andrews 2010. He's had loads and loads of top threes in majors since. I think this one and the USPGA is particularly good in. He seems to sort of blossom at this time of year, doesn't he?
Definitely.
He sort of went mad last year and kicked on and just won everything, didn't he? He played in the Dunhill Links a lot of times. He's got a third and a sixth and an eighth in that. And look at his stats. His stats are phenomenal, aren't they? He just seems to be good in every category. Last time out in Germany, BMW International Open, finished runner-up there. Hit 80% of greens. Hit 80% of greens in the US Open. I just can't see him being out of the frame, to be honest. The obvious thing with him is he's not won a major. No Swedish male has ever won a major. So,
temperament as well?
In what way?
Do you think he gets frustrated with himself too easily?
Not.
Did at Chambers Bay. I backed him at Chambers Bay, and that he kind of collapsed.
That was a funny week, though, wasn't it? I think
it was, but still a valid. This could be a funny week, couldn't it? You know, it could be very windy.
I think maybe he was frustrated by the greens there at Chambers Bay, but he does seem to, whenever he's in contention, he heaps a lot of pressure on himself, and that seems to be detrimental down the stretch to his chances.
Yeah, possibly, maybe. But yeah, that's, I think,
It's a fair question, Mark.
It's an each way, but I just think 22 gives you plenty of value on the place part of that. And I just think one day he will win one, and this seems an
obvious. He's a very good links player. He was very, very much
got a great record in the Open, hasn't he, as well?
Very good record. Brilliant
wherever
record
it goes.
In, in fact, a couple of years ago, I had him at a very big price, and he just missed out. So he was very much on my mind again, but just left him out. He's got a late draw as well, hasn't he? But we do. I mean, we say that as though that could mean nothing, you know. But at the moment, that
it is fascinating, though, isn't it? To think about what the draw could, what difference the draw could make.
But my next pick's got a late draw, so
yeah. And as you've mentioned in the past on these podcasts, when we've done Open Championships, you can sometimes have a late and a very late, or an early and a very early.
It's
and
not
that,
the
that
fairest
can make
of draws.
No, it's not, because they all go off one.
Yeah, they don't. Just because you're very early one day doesn't mean you'll be very late the next, or vice versa. I noticed less of that this year when I was looking through a draw, and I only skimmed it in that regard, but I didn't think it's quite as bad as it is some years.
Yeah,
where some people seem to get heavily penalised.
I think you're looking at the top players, and they obviously get the prime television slots, don't they? Some of the outsiders maybe can pop up at big prices in those first round leader markets because they're off very early.
I've got one of those.
Okay, well, come on to that.
I've got one of those for later on. Yeah,
what's
for
your
you to put your mortgage on?
What's your second pick, Mike?
Matt Kuchar. Matt Kuchar is his name.
Kuch.
Again, not a bit like Snedeker, a player who's begun to learn how to play links golf and open golf. Was 27th here at St Andrews a few years ago, in 2010 when they played here. The last 3 years, picked up a 9th and a 15th at Lytham and Muirfield. 54th last year. Again, in very good form. Three good finishes in his last five stroke play events. He was 5th at Heritage. 12th in the US Open, which would have been a bit of a long course for him. So a bit like Snedeker, actually. They both had good US Open finishes. And second at the weekend there in the Scottish Open. So he's 55-1.
He
I expect him to be 60s or 66 tomorrow. That would be a massive price for Matt Kuchar, who hasn't won a major as yet. But I'm convinced he's good enough, and he's certainly good enough to get in the mix. Great ball striker, 7th of stroke greens in putting on tour, 9th of scrambling, 8th for par 4 scoring, and in good form on the links. Again, that was a great performance at the weekend, just behind Ricky Fowler there. I think he's a bit overpriced than that, I have to say.
And Matt Kuchar, currently 55-1. Do look at that Wednesday morning price as well. I'm going to go with a man that I thought you'd go with. He's just been clipped in the betting, actually, this morning, which is slightly frustrating, but I'll stick with him. Bernd Wiesberger is
my
selection at 66-1. I like his price. Obviously, I liked it more at 80-1, and I'll wait till Wednesday morning on him and hope for a push out.
Yep.
But I love his profile coming into this event, even though I missed him when Mike tipped him a couple of weeks ago in the Open de France. He's definitely showed an affinity with Lynx Golf this season, firstly with his performance in the Irish Open, where he was beaten in that playoff, and then with that win in France on that Lynx-style setup at Le Golf National. In addition to that form, which already makes him appealing at 66ers, his two performances recently in the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, admittedly on an easier setup when the pins are there for the amateurs as well, he's had finishes of 12th and 14th, and weekend rounds of 67 and 68, both times at St Andrews as well, in those last two performances at the Dunhill Links in 2013 and 2014. I thought he was absolutely sensational. I must admit, his weekend performance in France was superb. And he's got that bit of major experience now, having been out in the final round with Rory McIlroy, in the 2014 US PGA Championship before falling away with a final round of 74. He's got that perfect major age and major profile now as well, with him being 29 years old. You expect major performance to peak when they're 30, and he's bang there for me, Wiesberger, this week at 66.
Did look at him closely as well, for all those reasons,
Good stuff, and finishes off then, Dave.
The other one, it was one of those ones, when they play the Scottish Open, I like the fact that they're giving themselves a nice warm-up. What you don't want to see is them sort of play really well and blow their price, and this has kind of happened. Ricky Fowler, I've had him lined up for this for ages, and to be fair, I have had an anti-post bet on him. I'll come clean and say that, but at 16-1, I think at that price now, given the fact that he did win last week, that now means he's got two wins in five starts, the Players' Championship and the Scottish Open, big events, great fields, two wins in five. I think now at 16s, that's, I know we've talked about each way price, but I think I'm going to go win only on that. I'm happy to go win only on that. Just because my staking plan's a little bit squeezed if I've got a 35 and a 22 in there already. So I don't want to sort of...
That's fair enough.
Okay, I think Fowler, given the fact that he can now win... we remember Phil Mickelson a couple of years ago won the Scottish Open, goes on to win at Muirfield. I think Fowler can do the same. One stat that I worked out back then, because I just think, how did he get to tied 14th after shooting a 79 in round one at St Andrews on his debut in 2010? He shot a pair of 67s and a 71, and that was the best final 54 holes of anyone in the field.
Really?
Even better than Oosthuizen.
Right, okay.
So I thought, wow. And I think I've had that stat in my mind for 5 years, basically. And obviously, during that time, we've seen him mature and play great at Royal St George's, where he was fifth.
Yes.
Runner-up last year. And obviously, this year, the big thing was, can he win?
He can.
Gets that most overrated thing, doesn't he, thrown at him.
Yeah.
Shakes that off almost straight away. So I think the only thing with it, I'm committed to backing him win only, but it's whether do you maybe just wait a little bit, back him in running, because you're not losing out on the each way element.
One thing I was going to say, Dave, later in the podcast is absolutely, because of all the stuff we've said about the wind and the confusion about this event and the fact that you could have your chances of backing a winner literally blown away by the world. Save a good deal of your staking back for in play. There's nothing wrong with backing someone again during the tournament if they're going well, is there? Or seeing how the draw has played out. So I'll definitely be doing that. This is definitely the event where you don't want to put all your eggs in the pre-tournament basket.
So he's 16-1 pre-tournament. I think you'll get 20s on that. He's out in the afternoon.
Right. Yeah, I think he'll
have a chance of drifting.
Even with the prices that we're going to put, bigger tomorrow, it might go to that. So I might hold fire on that price, but I want to bet him at some point.
I mean, I definitely, Dave, I'm going to, because of what we just said there, the in-play element, I'm definitely going to update on Twitter my bets, because I'm having a couple of pre-tournament bets, maybe a third one. I'm playing over on the outright, but I'll certainly be looking to change that if things are going on.
Horribly wrong, I can imagine.
Or even
that.
If
that's
they're not,
I'm,
you know, even
I'm
if you see
about
an angle and you think, oh, these guys have got there isn't a disadvantage to the late players, then that changes things, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Spieth's out early, isn't he? Say Spieth goes out and he's five early under, then Ricky Fowler will drift before he's hit a ball.
Yeah, he'll be 25-1 before he's struck a shot.
Yep.
What about Jordan Spieth then? Before we go through the outsiders and the nearly men, people that just missed out on the list, let's talk about some of the leading lights at the top of the betting. We've not mentioned Jordan Spieth. 13-2 Spieth. I mean, this is a man who won last week at the John Deere, defies statistics, defies trends, and he's going for the Grand Slam, Mike.
Yeah, he's got every chance, hasn't he? Yeah, he's won at a Lynx course in Chambers Bay the other week there. He's got a great chance. What more can you say?
No, he has. He has got a great chance. I didn't want to put him up at 13-2. I think there's enormous pressure on him, and maybe not the ideal prep playing the John Deere. But again, I wouldn't say it's really a negative.
No, I mean, so you look at all those winners at St Andrews, Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, Faldo, Seve, they're all the elite, aren't they? So if he joined them, he'd be a worthy addition.
He's definitely going to be an elite player, isn't he? He's outstanding, yeah. Him and McIlroy should be a great... It's a shame Rory's not here, obviously. That would have been a real good... I wouldn't have fancied McIlroy this week because it's windy, personally, but if it hadn't been windy, yes, but... Yeah, but Spieth seems to be able to handle different things, doesn't he?
We talked Dustin Johnson and Ricky Fowler and Adam Scott already. Justin Rose is in there at 20-1. A disappointing Open Championship profile, Mike.
Definitely. People think he's a good... Because he started with that fourth when he was about 11.
His dad's clothes.
But he's a great Open player, and he actually, his record so far isn't that great. He's obviously... He's really come on in the game in the last couple of years, so he might sort that out. But it's not as good as people think, is it, his record? Right. It really isn't.
It's
not
very
in the top
poor.
10 since then, has he?
No. That's his best finish. That finish at Birkdale is his best finish by a distance.
Who would have said that, given what a player he's become? Where's his Open record?
It's strange.
And Louis Oosthuizen is the only man under 22-1. He's 20-1 at the moment with Hills. That looks very short.
That is very short. Yeah, that is ludicrously short.
That's the one that I thought... Wow, that is a short price.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't he miss two cuts since the US Open?
Yes. He's missed at least one.
He certainly hasn't played very well since his fantastic final round, which is a bit of an amazing tournament he had there, wasn't it, after that terrible first round. He obviously can win, but 20-1 doesn't reflect his chance in this field.
He's with Tiger again, isn't he, the first 2 days, which might just, given how bad he played him in that first round. Because there'll be a lot of...
There's a lot of scrutiny on there, on that group.
Tiger says he can win.
There you go. 33-1 he is, Tiger Woods. Played better at the Greenbrier, we mentioned that. And he's iron played, come on a lot. He's won this Open Championship twice here.
Oh, yeah, he loves St Andrews.
What do you think? No. What would your prediction be with Tiger Woods
this week?
Where will he finish?
25th.
I was thinking about 25th, actually.
T18. If you're looking for a market... To be pro Tiger, I'd go top 20.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay. Who came closest, Mike, then, for you, apart from the...
Well, there was three outsiders that I was playing around with, but the one that I might well have a little saver on is Hunter Mahan. He's a very good Open player, has some good finishes in this event, and he's actually putting a lot better than it looks. He's 26 on the tour for strokes gained putting. Really not having a good year at all by his own high standards, but he has got some decent finishes in there. So Hunter Mahan, I think, Dave, is he 150 to 1?
He is 150 to 1, yeah.
You know, over the last few years, he's knocked up some good top 10s in the Open. I just think if he can keep his ball striking on message, he could run a bigger race than people think. He's 150 to 1. Yeah. That is a big price. I know he hasn't been great this season. I think he may have missed his last two cuts, but... Finished top 10 in the Masters, for example. And he's tied 14th par 4 scoring on the US Tour as well. So, as you might expect from him, he's just a good ball striker. He was closest. And the other two guys who... Jeff Ogilvy has a good finish here back the years. Was he 5th or 6th here in an Open? I've got to back him probably as well because I've backed him so many times.
He's 200-1.
He can play well in the wind as well. So he's tempting a huge price. I won't mention Murder One because this is my first round leader bet.
Okay, I just want to quickly mention Victor Dubuisson, who we've ducked in the betting at the moment. He's 50-1. He's got a great record around St Andrews. Carded a 62 there in the Dunhill Links back in 2012. Brilliant short game as well.
Yep.
Playing better golf now. Finished tied 12th at the Open de France. Had a chance to win there. 10th in the Scottish Open. Had a chance to win there. Looks to be coming good at the right time. So Dubuisson... And Tommy Fleetwood, the other one. We mentioned that great Alfred Dunhill Links Championship record. I'm not sure he's ready for a major yet.
I'm not sure Dubuisson is either.
Okay.
And I'm not sure Wiesberger is. I think I like Opens. I think they need a bit of experience, particularly if it gets windy. Just such a different test. Those three are definitely future Open winners or candidates. They really are. Look, good Links players. But I just think you look back at a lot of the Open winners and they've got a bit of experience on their side, haven't they? You know, when you go down the history of it, just seems to be an event where that little bit of nous and savvy plays quite a big part. And they haven't played a lot of Opens.
No, that's a very fair point.
Doesn't apply to Jordan Spieth.
No, it doesn't apply. Does not
Nothing
apply to
applies
Spieth.
To him.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Just before we get on to supporting markets then, who was closest for you, Dave?
Yeah, almost. It's as if we script this. It's almost on a similar theme. Brooks Koepka, I'm pretty keen on. I might have a dabble at 50s. Basically, he's jumped up my thinking because he hits it a mile, obviously, 10th in driving distance. He's also third in the par four stats, which Mike's mentioned a couple of times on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
And he's played in the Alfred Dunhill a couple of times, and the last time he shot 64-68 at St Andrews. Mm. So obviously he's taken to the course. When he won, do you remember when he got automatically promoted to the European Tour for winning three times?
Yeah. A
battlefield promotion, the Americans call it, don't they? I think we just call it automatic promotion. The last of those wins came in Scotland as well, so he's got a bit of affinity with the place, I think. I know we're talking about not ready, but I think that early part of his career when he was going all over the shop in Challenge Tour events
might have prepared him. Yeah,
has broadened his horizons and made him just maybe.
What about you, Dave?
Take on shots.
Any others for you? Or those? Are
no, I've not got many. I've got a couple of outsiders I like, but I'm going to put them up in the supporting market.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Let's get stuck into the supporting markets then, because we've got over 40 markets pre-tournament here with William Hill, as well as the outright. Of course, we've got the top player markets, the first round leader markets, top 5, top 10 and top 20 finishers as well. Mike, lead the way here then. What do you like in the supporting markets this week?
If I was to have a bet in the supporting markets, well, I'm a first round leader bet.
Yes.
He's out early on Thursday morning, 5th and 6th. In opens at St Andrews. I'm going to have a go at Retief Hoosen to be first round leader.
I like that.
Whether he can, he was fourth in the BMW International Open last week, about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Has a couple of decent finishes in America in recent months as well. He was third in the Fries and 8th in the Northern Trust Open. Been way off his game for some time, but 6th and 5th in the last 2 St Andrews Opens, 8 top 10s in the Open. What price is it?
100-1.
100-1 to be first round leader. It's worth it. He's out very early on Thursday.
No, I like that. 100-1. And you had a first round leader bet, didn't you, as well, Dave?
Yeah, Greg Owen. He's in the first group out.
Well, yeah, he is.
It's not, that's got to be an advantage, that, hasn't it?
We were saying that slot between maybe 6:30 and 9, you might get, that's the best all week.
Definitely.
If the forecast is correct.
Yeah, that's why I picked Hoosen.
Yeah. So very similar reasons. He can make hay. And if you look at, obviously he seemed to vanish for a number of years, Greg Owen, but if you've been watching the US Tour for the last few weeks, he's been
up
there, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He was the joint first round leader at St Jude just a few weeks ago. He was 6th after round one at the Greenbrier last time. He was 5th after round one in New Orleans. So he's been making fast starts. And kind of the icing on the cake is, he's not played that many Opens, but he was 2nd after day one, I think at Lytham, and 5th after day one in another one of them. So he's even made fast starts in Opens before. So
very good.
He's done it in the event and is doing it recently. Early start. I'll just double check the price.
150s,
as you know. Yeah,
yeah. In the first round.
Again, you want to be playing the big prices,
triple,
don't you? Because it's a bit of a punt, isn't it? So
bit of a lottery. Yeah. What about you, Div?
I've not got one in the first round leader market. I've got a couple in the top player markets, though. I'll start with the top United States player. I like Brant Snedeker in this market, and I'm going half a point each way, 18-1 on Brant Snedeker in this market. Obviously, the top US players.
Scribble that down after my first
tweet. Yeah. I've just been furiously making notes for the last 10 minutes. It's obviously a competitive market, as you would imagine, that one with the likes of Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson. I mean, you're stars and stripes this week, aren't you, with your selections?
Yeah, well, the top two, both Americans,
But I've got down here, I'm not sure St Andrews will totally suit his game with the prevailing conditions, and that's something we brought up earlier. But I went for him in the US Open, and I don't think he enjoyed putting on those greens. You mentioned how...
Finished top 10, though.
Yeah, he did finish top 10, which I think was testament to his striking that week. Mm. He's enjoying the purple patch at the moment. Scrambling and putting is two big attributes, which is fantastic around St Andrews. And as you mentioned earlier... those two really good performances in those Opens at Lytham, where he finished tied for third, and a tie for 11th at Muirfield in 2013.
He's definitely
good Open player.
He's showing a propensity for Open. I'm not so worried about the weather for him. He's got an early tee off on Thursday. But he's got a good game. I think he'll be fine.
You've got four places there as well in that market, so I do like that 18-1 each way angle there.
Okay, yeah. You got any top country bets, Dave?
Yeah, in the top England market, I was trying to find a market for him. Tommy Fleetwood, I think he's 9-1.
Yep.
Basically, I don't like Justin Rose, so I think it's a good way of playing Fleetwood because you can take the favourite on. Casey, I am on Casey. Hopefully people were listening in my early career on the radio. They probably shouldn't have been because I was all over the shop. But I did put up Paul Casey at 100-1 in my early knockings.
It was on Play Radio, yeah.
Yes. So obviously now I think he's 33 with us. Yeah. So I'm happy to have that in the bank. Everything he's done since then has been a positive, to be honest. But he's the one that I'd fear in that market, to be honest. But at least he makes Fleetwood a bigger price than he would have been. So Fleetwood at 9-1. Poulter, I'm not so sure of. Yeah, there's a few.
Luke Donald plays for the Opens. He'd be on my mind. And I have to say, David Howell is a pretty big price. He puts well.
Yeah, I think I've gone more Fleetwood because I think Donald and Howell, I'd prefer them, or that I'd fear them more if it was a faster running Open. I think maybe the length might just, you know, handicap them a little bit.
I've actually got a pick in this. I'm going with Ross Fisher at a big price in this market, 20-1. This was the one that I looked at because I wanted to take on Justin Rose, and he's taking a lot out of that market, 7-4 here with William Hill. That looks short. He's not got a great Open Championship record, and he capitulated at Gullen last week as well. I've always liked Fisher in Lynx events, and he's coming nicely to the boil. I was actually on at a short price in the outright when he blew it in 2009 at Turnberry, the Open that Stuart Sink won, when he had that quadruple bogey. You back-sinked, didn't you?
I'm the only person in the world who was glad that Tom Watson
had. I was delighted Tom Watson got beat. I thought it was embarrassing at a 59-year-old. Honestly, I did.
Yeah.
Everyone else was thinking I would have, but... So how are you going to attract young kids if some old fella wins?
Duffer wins, yeah.
Sorry, Tom, I mean, he's had his day.
He's had his day, hasn't he?
But Fisher comes into this with a little bit of form as well. Good performances in the BMW International, where he finished tied 11th. Scottish Open finished tied 7th. He's been runner-up in the Dunhill Links as well, which is good news for this tournament. So I thought he might surprise a few at a big price in that market. 50 odds, 1, 2, 3, 4. Ross Fisher for me at 20s in that top England market, and I'll have a half point each way on that as well.
Interesting. I'm having a speculative one in the top senior.
Have a bet in the top senior market.
Have to have a top senior market. Jimenez and Langer are obviously very strong candidates there, you'd have to say. But I'm going to have a little tilt at Mark Calcavecchia in that market. He won recently the Principal Charity Classic, completely out of the blue, really. Hadn't been playing that well at all. Then went 20th in the senior players. Missed the cut. His last round on the course was 80 in the US Senior Open. That doesn't bode too well, does it? But Calcavecchia was 9th at Lytham 3 years ago. He's an absolutely outstanding Open player. Won in 1989, a long time ago. But in these last four St Andrews Opens, he was 24th, 26th, 60th, 73rd, where he was really doing really well at halfway, just had a bad final two rounds. So 12-1 Calcavecchia in that. Is it about eight-man field? Two or three of them, I'm not too sure about. I think 12-1 is a very good each-way bet there.
In my glossy book that I bought in about the 2010 Open, I was looking at that. Calcavecchia, he was second at halfway.
Wasn't he?
In 2010, yeah.
He went 77-80 at the weekend in that Open. But yeah, he's just a very good links player. So and he's got a recent win to his name. He was awful up till that. But... I just think he's worth a little spin.
12-1, Mark Calcavecchia. Just before we wrap up and give our selections, you have one more bet, yeah.
Just in the top 20 market, another market, George Curtsey. He's 16-1. Now, his current form's terrible, but he's won twice this year, which people may have forgotten about.
Yeah.
Absolutely plays brilliantly at St Andrews as well. He shot 62 there in the Dunhill Links. I think he came fifth when he did that. And if you follow his Twitter line at the moment, he's been practising with Oosthuizen and Brandon Grace, who've obviously lifted the trophy in different events there. So I think he'll be buoyed by that. I think with him, I think he can be a bit hit and miss. He can have bad runs. So I think he's eating something at local curry house.
7-1 he is for a top 20.
I'll tell you what, then. I'm going to go top 10. I'm going to push the boat out.
Push the boat out.
Yeah, 16 to 1 top 10 is. And Mike's told me before, make sure you have a bit on him on the outright.
Yeah.
Just in case. You
don't have to much on it. 200 to 1 or whatever, do you?
You check half a point at 200 on the outright. I think he loves the course. He's saying on Twitter how much, how much he loves the place. South Africans tend to do well there. Just as a speculative outsider, he'd be my big outsider.
I nearly put Hootson up, though, for top South African, I've got to say.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if he runs a big race this week. You know, but you're right, you've got Kurtz, you've got Schwartzel's playing better, isn't he?
Schwartzel, who's
they've got some really good Blinks players, haven't
they? That's a good competitive market.
It's really good
that,
market, so that's why I didn't do him. So I went for the much easier first round leader market.
only the 150 odd runners in that market.
It's nice and easy, that one. Done and dusted by 11 o'clock.
Then we'll be just cheering as it gets windy.
It's one of those where if you get an early starter, like you, obviously Mike's gone for Goosen and you've gone for Owen, you can get a nice little run early on there if it gets to half nine and you're
excited,
up at the top of the leaderboard. Precisely. Who's the player you don't want to win this week? Who came almost closest and just missed out on the cut, Mike, for you?
Oh God, that's a good question. I'm going to bat my hand probably, so... I don't know. I don't know.
A whole host of them.
Matsuyama, maybe. I haven't mentioned him. Matsuyama, wouldn't surprise me if he plays well, but I just couldn't back him because he's putting at the moment. He could go very well, though.
Fleetwood for me. Given he ran such a big race.
Billy Horschel.
Billy Horschel needs a mention. I'd be with Fleetwood and Dave.
Bill Haas.
He's got the mention.
Dustin Johnson, basically, for me.
He always goes for the shorties, doesn't he?
Does.
I don't care if the shorties win, do you, Dave?
Well, how short though? 12 to 1?
You know what? I just like a winner at the moment. I wouldn't be bothered about the price. 12 to 1, you can see Dustin Johnson going well, can't you, Randy?
Yeah, I can't see him not going well, but that's really...
He's got a lot of positives.
Again, we say... in running betting, he tees off early, doesn't he?
Yeah.
If he made a modest start... I think about going in, 16s, 20s maybe, but 12s is too short for now.
Yes, thank you.
He's out with Spieth, actually. Yeah. That's a very good... And Matsuyama, they're all together.
That'd be a great group to watch at 9.33.
Half nine about, aren't they? It's going to be great. So,
Let's recap the selections then. Start off with the selections in the outright market, Mike.
So I have two things to say, Dave. Keep some of your stake back for betting and running, as we always say in this event. And also think about waiting until Wednesday morning if you want a pre-tournament event. Thirdly, actually, keep an eye on Twitter if you're anyway interested in what we pick, because I'll definitely be updating some bets in running. No doubt about it, because I've saved quite a bit of my stake back. But that said, my outright picks, Brant Snedeker and Matt Kuchar, point each way each.
45 to 1 and 55
bigger
to 1,
tomorrow,
respectively. Do have a look at Wednesday morning's prices here with William Hill. I'll go 1.5 points each way, Adam Scott at 20 to 1, and 1 point each way, Bernd Wiesberger. And I'll be looking for a bigger price on both. 66 to 1, Wiesberger is right now at time of recording. Dave?
1.5 points each way, Martin Keimer at 35s, and then a fairly lumpy 2 points each way on Stenson at 22s, because I do think he will place. And then Ricky Fowler. I'm holding back a 2 points win bet in running. Hopefully he'll hit 20s sooner rather than later.
And in the supporting markets, I'm playing 0.5 point each way on Brant Snedeker to be top States player. Four places there, and that's 18 to 1 and 0.5 point each way. Ross Fisher, a top Englishman at 20 to 1, Mike.
Yeah, I'll go Retief Goosen in the first round leader, and Mark Kalkovecchia, a bit of a fun bet in the seniors.
12 to 1 Kalkovecchia and 100 to 1 Goosen.
Greg Owen in round one leader. Greg Owen out in the first group, 150 to 1. I'll have 0.5 point each way at that. Tommy Fleetwood, top Englishman, 1.5 points win at 9 to 1. And then George Kedzie, 0.5 point each way at 200s. And then I will play him.
Like him top 10, don't you?
2 points for top 10 at 16s,
Thank you. There's a lot of points flying around.
There is, isn't there?
Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter and because as Mike mentioned, he's going to be updating throughout the championship. Dave Tindall will be with myself on InPlay Radio as well throughout the week.
This is an InPlay puzzle. You get yourself in a nice position, you should still be looking to back, cover yourself and back other players. If you're having a disaster, you want to get an interest. So
I think this is the best InPlay event of the year.
I'd go along with that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun on InPlay, definitely. You can follow us on Twitter at D Kellner, at M Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf, and we've got Jamie Spencer's videos on the website as well. Just click on the golf page on the website and you'll see the Sky Sports golf pundit Jamie Spence on the tournament winner. He's previewed the top names and he's got a piece on St Andrews. He played St Andrews first Open Championship back in 1990, I think, Jamie Spence.
Love listening to Jamie. Not only is he a golf expert, but he understands betting in golf.
Yeah, he does. So check out Jamie Spencer's thoughts on the website now. We'll be back on InPlay Radio from 12 p.m. through until 10 p.m. throughout all 4 days of the championship, so tune in on Thursday, and myself, Mike and Dave will be back with a debrief and a look at next week's tournaments on next week's golf podcast. It's been a pleasure, folks, as per usual. Thank you for downloading and listening, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.